shut up. I'll make a mess out of things here in just about five. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Sell my Honda and buy a Suzuki. Amen. All right. Well, amen. Woo, turn me down, please. Hey, praise the Lord. Good. Good to be with you all tonight. Amen. Good to be here at Blackstone Valley Comedy Hour. And where's Brother Carl when you need him? Amen. Oh, my soul. It is so good to be here. I'm serious, folks. I have a good time every time we come. I mean that, and I praise the Lord for that. I know that you can get out and drink and have a fun time. Honestly, I know that. I know you can get out and do drugs and have a fun time. I know you can get out and do all these things that the world does and have a good time. The Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season. So that means that good time is going to come to an end. Well, you know what about our good time? It's not going to come to an end. You say, oh, yeah, it will, Brother Danny. When we die, yeah, go ahead. When we die, it's just going to get more gooder. Amen. It ain't even going to stay as good as it is. It's going to get better. Amen. So praise the Lord. I believe I'd rather be here having a good time in the Lord and know that, praise God, if death were to come, I don't have to worry about it. I'll just go on home and be with Jesus. Amen. But it is good to see all of you. I praise the Lord for you tonight and just thank God for His goodness and mercy. If you'll open your Bibles again to Joshua chapter 24, Joshua chapter 24, we tried to preach the message this morning and y'all wouldn't have it, and so we just preached what y'all wanted and gave that to you. No, we just seemed like we got started on the introduction and couldn't get away from it, and I'm not apologizing for that. I always want to follow the Lord's leadership, and I feel like we did that this morning. But I am really looking for, is it getting brighter in here? Praise the Lord, my hearing's getting better, my sight's getting better. I must have done snuck off and died right quick and got to heaven before I realized it, amen? Nope. All right. Well, glory to God, we baptized the pulpit. Amen. Maybe we ought to dismiss Brother Randy and go home. Let's give their money back, all right? Well, anyway, we just follow the Lord. I won't always be, I want to be guilty of following the Lord. No matter if it seems like it doesn't fit or whatever, I still want to be guilty of following the Lord. And so that's what we're going to do again tonight. Joshua chapter 24, beginning with the verse 14. If you'll stand with us, we'll read a couple of verses and get started tonight. See what the Lord has for us. In Joshua chapter 24 and verse number 14, the Bible says, "Now therefore," and it's because of those things before, he said, "Fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods," little g, "which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods," little g, "of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And so we talked about this morning, about Joshua being at the age of 110 at this time. And he makes this bold statement, not based upon right now and tomorrow, but based on a lifetime of serving God. He says, hey, he's worthy to be served. Amen. He's saying, hey, I can count on him. It's not that, hey, I'm going to make this decision. It's not about it's about him. Amen. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ, about God himself, that he can trust God, that he knows that he's not wasting his time serving God. I'm afraid some of us here tonight, I never try to preach to folks that don't make it. Amen. Because if they're not here, it's not going to do them a bit of good. But I'm afraid there's some of us here tonight, my friend, that we're wasting our time. This whole life is going to be a waste. Because we're not serving the Lord. Any time that is spent in this world, I don't care if it's for, listen to me very carefully, if it's for education, if it's for sports, if it's for making a living or whatever, anything, my friend, that we do in this world and only self, only the flesh is getting the pleasure out of it, my friend, it's wasted time. Amen. Now, don't make me have to amen myself. I preach a lot longer when I do that, all right? But Joshua's making this bold statement based upon a lifetime of serving God, knowing that every time he needed God, God was right there. He was not a spare tire. Amen. He wasn't put in the trunk there, so to speak, and when Joshua needed him, he'd run, get him out of the trunk. No, that's the way some of us serve God. When bad time, when we have a flat, let's call on God. If all else fails, let's pray. That ought to be the first thing we do, is to pray. Amen. And it ought not be we've got to go get God. It's that God's readily there in our lives. Amen. And so Joshua has made this statement, and we want to go a little bit further with it tonight. All right, let's pray. Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for your goodness and mercy. Thank you for this good crowd that's here tonight, a good congregation of people. Lord, folks that I would say, Lord, that everyone here loves you. Now, Lord, I don't know to what degree that we love you. But, Lord, I believe we're talking to a bunch of folks tonight that have a knowledge of you. Lord, whether they really put you first in their life, God, I can't judge that. That's between you and them. For the ones that I would think that are putting you first might very well be the ones that are the most slack in their life concerning their relationship with you. So, Lord, it's your business tonight. But God, I believe you want us to speak as though we're speaking to each one here tonight, as though they're backslidden on you tonight, Lord. For Lord, then and only then can we get help. Because Lord, I know this, no matter how close I get to you, Lord, I always want to get closer. So I pray tonight, Lord, that you'd help us now. And Lord, if there is one here among us that is lost, that does not know you as their personal Savior, dear Lord, if they were to die during the service tonight, they'd be separated from you and your love for all eternity by being cast into a bottomless pit, a lake of fire, a place that we refer to as, and the Bible does also, as a place called hell. Lord, would you speak to their heart? I pray, Lord, that in the service they would get scared, afraid that they might die without you, afraid that death could come and sit down beside them any time in this service and require their life. God, I pray that they'd think about that. Lord, they don't even have to wait to an invitation. Lord, they could come even now, and it would not disrupt us if they came and took the preacher by the hand and said, "Preacher, I got to get saved. I want to get saved tonight and right now." Lord, help them tonight. Then speak to our hearts as Christians. Now, Lord, you know all about us. You know where we are in our spiritual walk with you. Dear God, help us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you will, we just look over a few verses of Scripture, and we're just going to read these because we're going to turn a little bit farther in just a moment, but on over in chapter 24 to verse number 29. Look with me, if you will, in verse 29. When God gave me the message, I thought, for this morning, that was as far as it was going to go this morning, was talking about Joshua. And coming to the place of, as we try to get to this morning, of making choices. If you remember, that's how we ended up, about making choices. And we all make choices. But God is just, I've read the Scriptures, I've studied the Scriptures, and what just seemed like last night and tonight, this morning even, and this afternoon, I've been reading, and God has just been opening Scriptures to me and just revealing some stuff and impressing on my heart that that's where we need to go tonight. So we're just going to go there, and we may try to get back to the message tonight or tomorrow night, whenever. And if the Lord doesn't want us to do that, we won't even do that. But folks, I guess what we're getting at, we need a revival. I mean, our country is sin sick. And the sad thing is, if you say that to most folks, they're going to disagree with you. I mean that. They're going to disagree with you because we're doing well. as far as the flesh is concerned, we're doing well. I would dare say that just about every one of us here tonight have some money in our pocket. If we don't have cash money, we've got a card that we can use called a debit card or a credit card. And we haven't maxed out on it yet. In other words, we do have some money, every one of us. So we'd say, well, we're doing good. We're doing well. But the truth of the matter is, folks, listen to me. We might have some money in our wallet or a card that we can use, but the truth is, we're in very poor condition. Our country is bankrupt spiritually. A lot of the church members up and down the highway of any given church you go into are spiritually bankrupt tonight. Amen. No need of God reminds me of the church over there in the book of Revelation. No need of God because we've got our programs set in order and we've got money. We have no need of God. Truth is, oh, we desperately need Him. Now, I don't know about you folks. It goes deeper with me than just needing Him. It goes beyond that to a point of wanting Him. Amen. I'm constantly reminded of the message, we're going to get to this in a little while, but the message of Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter number 7 when he says, if you do lament, or they lamented after the Lord, and he said, if you do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, put away your strange gods. Amen. The people had gotten to the place finally they got to the place, not only did they realize they were wrong, but they realized they missed God in their life. They missed having Him in their lives. Folks, listen to me. We ought to miss God tonight and want Him back. Boy, I want His presence back. Amen. So we can rejoice in the Lord, that we can really, I'm talking about real rejoicing. Amen. Where we are at the point where we say, praise the Lord. Why? Because Brother Danny said for us to do. Oh, no. But because the Holy Ghost of God, my friend, indwells us in such a mighty way that we just can't contain His goodness and mercy. And we just have to say, praise the Lord. Why? Because He's so good. Amen. And He is so good. Amen. We need a revival. Here, Joshua, in Joshua chapter 24, verse 29, and it came to pass after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in verse 31. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that He had done for Israel. Well, the elders, we mentioned this briefly this morning, but the elders that were Joshua's age and maybe a little bit older, they lived on after Joshua and still live for the Lord. These are people that if you will, they're in control of things. They're the mamas and the daddies. Amen. They're not the young couples. They're the older couples. They're the older people of Israel. That's who it's referring to. And they're continuing with their walk with the Lord as they did when Joshua was their captain. They continue in that walk. Isn't that great? They can't continue to serve the Lord. Look with me in Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2. In Judges chapter 2, we'll start with verse number 7. But it's a review or a recap of the things that went on in the Israelites' lives up to the date, time of Joshua dying. In Judges chapter 2, verse number 7, and the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua. And I know it's identical word for word as there it was in Joshua, as we read just a moment ago, but it says, and the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen, notice it keeps saying this, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that He had done for Israel. In verse 8 says, Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. In number 9, it tells about him being buried again in Mount Ephraim. And then in verse number 10, and also all the generation, and also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. Now, do you get this? Do you see the picture that God's given us? Joshua and the men that and women, if you will, the families that were old as Joshua, being 110 years of age. They're living for God. Joshua dies. They continue to live for God through that generation. But then, they're the generation that has seen the miracles of God. Miss Pam was going to sing tonight the song, "With All the Many Miracles, Don't You Think It's Time We Trust?" These people that the Bible is talking about, this generation that the Bible is referring to, is that generation that has seen the power of God move in the lives of men and women, boys and girls. I mean, how God had brought them through a time that they could not get through themselves. Amen. Had brought them out of bondage and took them to a land that was theirs. God just gave it to them. Amen. And that's the generation they have seen. No wonder they kept living for the Lord all the days of their life. They had witnessed firsthand the power of God. But it troubles me, Brother Randy, because it says that after this generation, there arose another generation that knew not the Lord. How can that happen in such a quick time? I mean, listen to me. We've got a generation now that says there is no God. Now, you listen to me. You say, no, there may be a few. You better take notice tonight. There is a generation among us that says there is no God. Amen. They deny the existence of God. They, my friend, if they say that, well, he once did exist, he is dead now. There's a generation among us that does not know the Lord. All they know is what some professor has taught them in a classroom, what some teacher has taught them in elementary, high school, whatever level you want to talk about. Amen. You say, well, not at our school. Well, then it's above normal. Because the norm is they're teaching in all the schools anything and everything except the ways of God. Amen. I mean, you can teach on being a Muslim. You can teach the things that the Muslims know. You can teach that to our children. And it's okay. But I just heard here the other day of the teacher that said to the class, the student said, "Hey, listen, you can read any book you want and make a report on it." And this young girl read the Bible, read part of the Bible, was making a report on the Bible, and the teacher would not accept it. The teacher gave her a zero for it. It was up in Vermont, as a matter of fact. Now that I think of it, I'm remembering it. And one of the school, I don't know what you call them, council, whatever they are that's on the school board, was the one that this man was telling me about it. And he said, and the parents went to that teacher and said, "Hey, you said they could pick any book they wanted, and they chose the Bible." And the teacher said, "No." Said, if this young girl continues on this route, she'll fail this class. So they went to the principal of the school. And the principal of the school said, "No, you've misunderstood. That's not the way our teachers are." And the mom and the dad said, "Well, that's exactly what our daughter said. We need to bring the teacher in and confront her with this." They brought the teacher in, and she said to the principal, "They'll not write a report on the Bible in my class." And of course, they got that overruled. But that teacher was standing her ground. What are you saying, brother? I am saying, folks, that we have a generation that knows not God. How can this happen in the United States of America? One nation under God. How can this be? There's nothing to it, Brother Danny. You made that story up. It's not near as bad as y'all make it out to be. I'm telling you, it's a lot worse. I don't know all the many stories, my friend, but there are many, many more that are even that bad or worse that do not believe God, that do not know Him. How can that be? Do you realize in Joshua and in Judges, these verses that we read that are the same, 25 years prior to that, about 25 to 26 years before that, God instructed Israel how that they're to teach their children, how they're to teach that younger generation. Let me read it to you. Deuteronomy chapter number 6, verse number 4. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 4. God is speaking to Israel. This is before Joshua's bold statement about, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Although he was already living that statement in Deuteronomy. Amen. He was already living that. But what I'm getting at, somewhere, somehow, there was a breakdown within that last generation before the one came along that knew not God. And I keep saying, they served the Lord. They served the Lord. And then here came a generation after them that, my friend, did not know the Lord. How can they serve the Lord and the generation that's coming up under them not even know this God? I believe the Bible gives us the answer. Of course, it always does, doesn't it? But here in verse number 4, chapter number 6, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Here's the key. "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might." Now we're going to go on in just a moment, but I want you to look at those words. He says, with all your heart. You know what that means? Listen to me. If I love Miss Pam with all my heart, I have... Now, this, I'm not trying to be comical. It's a fact. If I love Miss Pam with all my heart, I have no time for any of you other women. Are you listening to me? If you need my help in an area of some way that there's nothing evil or wicked about it, but you just need my assistance, that would be all right unless it comes between me and Miss Pam. Amen? If you were out on the highway, I guess it would be a good one, and you had a flat tire, and you're out there all by yourself, and you've got this flat, and I come along, and I see you, I know you, and I pull over and I say, "Hey, can I help you?" And you say, "I've got a flat, but I don't have a spare. Could you give me a ride to my house?" Now, I'm going to tell you something very, very plain. I would hesitate about that. I would say, "Here's what we'll do. We'll get the phone, and we'll call and get some help." And you say, "What's the matter, Brother Danny? You having problems in that area?" "No, but I don't want to have a problem in that area, dummy." Amen. I'm not the dummy. The Bible says abstain from all appearances of evil. Amen. So let's do what the Bible says. We'll have a lot less problems. But if I love her like I'm supposed to love her, I have no time for you women. Amen. What's wrong with us? We think, "Hey, listen, it's all right for me to kind of sit over here and talk with you and all of this. Wait just a minute. No. There's my love." Amen. You say, okay, where'd that come from? We're loving on other gods. We're giving attention to other gods. He said, how are we supposed to love God? With all our... Some of y'all are not listening. We're to love God with all our hearts. Amen. That means if we're loving God with all our heart, we have no time for other gods. When it's church time, you know where you'll find me? At the house of God. Amen. Well, but Brother Danny, I've got a problem with... Sorry. I'm not going to let your problem come between me and my God. You should not let your problem come between you and God. Amen? Folks, what is wrong with us? Here's a generation that has went away from God. I mean, they know not God. How did they get there? I'll tell you how. Because the other generation was not loving God with all their heart. The one that was serving God. You see, we don't have to come to church for months. But we can still say, I love God just as much as anybody else. Well, I got a problem with that. Amen. You haven't served Him since when? Haven't even offered to pay your tithe since when? And now you're telling me you love Him as much as I love Him. You know where I was yesterday? Getting ready for church today. Amen. Amen. You know where I was last week? I was in church. You know what about the week before? I was in church. You say, yeah, but you're a preacher. No. I was going to church before I ever surrendered to preach. You see, we don't love the Lord our God with all our heart. Our mouth says so, but our heart shows different. We love Him with what we think is enough to get us by so that He's there at our disposal when we need Him. That's the reason we're having so much trouble in our lives. Amen. Listen, I believe that those folks, that older generation of Joshua's day, they loved God. But for some reason or another, they failed to show their children how much they loved God. I think that's what's wrong with our churches today. We're failing to show the younger generation how much we really love God. He ought to be number one in our life, meaning nothing else comes in between us and Him. And then if that's true, see, I don't have a problem telling you folks I love her. Well, I got news for you. I don't have a problem telling you folks I love Him. Amen. I mean, sometimes, even in public, I'll hold my wife's hand. Because I'm not ashamed of that love. Sometimes I'll even get closer and put my arm around her. Now, I try to be careful in public. That doesn't mean you got to get plumb nasty with your living. Are you listening to me? But I'm saying, I don't mind doing these things because I love her. I don't mind. Praise the Lord. You know, if you go and knock on our children's door, David in Texas, and you say, David, I'm here. I know your mom and dad, and I just want to ask you something. Does your mom and dad really love each other? David's face will light up. His face will light up and he'll say, my mom and dad love each other so much. I've seen it for all of my 36 years, David would say. I've seen that for 36 years. I mean, my dad tells her that he loves her and she tells my dad that she loves him. But they don't have to say that because it's obvious they love one another. You go to our daughter's house and you say, Rachel, I know your mom and dad, but I just want to ask you a question. Do they really love each other? Rachel's little face will light up. And she'll say, oh, my mom and dad are in love so much, sometimes it's sickening.
Amen.
Huh? You go to our youngest son's house and knock on the door and say, Paul, we're here. We know your mom and dad and just doing a survey. Does your mom and dad really, I mean, really, Paul, listen. You be Paul for a little while. I said, you be Paul for a little while. Okay. Paul, does your mom and dad, I mean really, honest, now this is just between us. No one else is hearing this. I'll never tell them what you say because I want you to just be honest. Feel free to tell me the truth. Does your mom and dad...
They love each other so much that it's sickening.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Paul. That's about what Paul would say. Oh, yes. You know why? Listen to me. Because it's just what I said in these testimonies. It's not only that they say they love each other, but they show it. We've seen mom and dad not just loving on one another, but loving one another for 40 years. They've loved each other. It's been an obvious thing that you can just see. I mean, it's not something. They got to take a sign around. He don't wear a shirt that says, I'm hers. She don't have to wear a shirt that says, I'm his. Amen. It's shown other ways. Listen, what I'm trying to get at. We have left our first love when it comes to the Lord. We don't praise Him. That's what it is. When I love her the way I'm supposed to love her, it's literally praising her for being my wife. Amen. We ought to worship the Lord that way. We ought to praise Him that way. We are failing our younger generation. If we get any more dignified, folks, we're going to really make, we've already made a mess out of this thing of serving and praising the Lord. Amen. Because we're not showing it readily to a world. One thing I've tried to do with our children is show them that serving God, it's not a have-to thing, but it's a want-to-do thing. I've shown them, Pam and I both have done our best to show them there's joy in serving the Lord. We don't go to church because we have to. We don't tithe because we have to. We don't love Him because we have to. And you know what? Listen, you know what it's resulted in? Now listen to me. It's resulted in our children going to church every service, every time the doors are open at their church. But wait, it doesn't stop there. We got a little grandson. We've got 4 grandsons and 2 granddaughters. Our youngest grandson's 4 years old, and I was talking to him. I took the time Saturday yesterday to call each of our children and talk with their children just to encourage them. Most of them, the older ones, their school has started back this week, and so I just called to see how the school was going with them. And I'm talking to each of the 6, and I'm calling, talking with them, and laughing and cutting up with them. And I started off with Titus, the oldest one. I said, son, we talked, I laughed and cut up. I said, who is this? And he said, Titus. I said, Titus who? He said, Titus Crouch. I said, can you spell that? Boy, he started spitting it out. You know, he's 12 years old. And I said, well, praise God, at least you're learning something in school. And, you know, it just kept going. Well, we got down to the younger couple, and Jameson, he's 4 years old. And begin to talk with him. Of course, he's not started school yet. But I'm just calling to just talk with our grandchildren. Amen. And Jameson starts quoting Romans 3:23. For all have sinned, 4 years old now, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. Listen to me, folks. I hope you get what I'm saying. This is Papa. Okay? You can be Grandpa. I'm Papa. This is Papa that's listening to his grandson. The other kids can do the same thing, but he's listening to his grandson that is 4 years old. Instead of me expecting him to grow up and to be in all kinds of trouble and everything, you know what I'm kind of expecting out of that little fella? I'm kind of expecting that little fella to grow up and know the Lord in a personal way. I'm enjoying this, see. I'm enjoying my children bringing my grandchildren up in church. Listen, folks, I apologize to you, I guess, but I don't know what it's like to have to pray for your children in the sense of they're messed up with this, they're messed up with that, they're having trouble over here, they're in trouble back over there. I do not know. I've never known. Miss Pam and I have never had to deal with that in our family. Now listen to me. I'm not taking credit for it. I'm telling you, God's given us the ingredients to put in our children. That is to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. See, we didn't have time to get our children involved in the world. Why? Because it would take away from our God. We've instilled in them that God is number one, and there is no number two. Now you say, well, I don't agree with that. Go ahead, you'll prove me right. Amen. You see, we just don't get it. We still think we can dabble around. We can give our kids to the world. But we're serving God. There's more to serving God than just serving God. Are you listening? He tells us to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. You know what he's saying? Love God with everything that's in you. And some of us, we can't even do that. Oh, you'll argue with me. You'd get right in my face and say, you're wrong. I love God with every fiber of being. Really? It's strange. Because all I've got to go by is your mouth, because your actions doesn't prove it. You know what? If they don't prove it to me, I got a feeling your kids know better. They see us. They see us be a hypocrite coming to church. And they see us be a hypocrite when we go out the church. Because you see, we're not just a hypocrite in here. We're a hypocrite out there. Because in here, we pretend we're something we're not. And out yonder, we pretend we're something we're not. We're not even what we say we are out there if we're a cussing and a lying and a drinking. Why? Because we got another side of us in here. So we're a hypocrite all the way around. Amen. We just don't get it, do we, folks? It makes a difference. Why do you think the United States of America is where we are today? Our churches are full of folks that know God. They have a form of godliness. Got that form of godliness. We know how to dress when we go to church. Whether we dress right or not, we still know how you ought to dress. But we deny the power thereof. You know what the power of God causes me to do? It causes me to know that I can live a victorious life in a world that's always losing. But there's something greater than that. It causes me to know that my God is able to supply all of my needs according to His riches in glory. But it's better than that. It, my friend, this power of God, to know Him and to experience His power means this. My friend, that I can enjoy His sweet fellowship. Amen. That's the power of God. For you see, I am not worthy to come before God, even to lift my hands up and praise Him, or to say, praise the Lord, or to holler, amen. But because Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary and was placed in the tomb, and on the third day He got up and walked out of that tomb, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Amen. That power of resurrection, my friend, has put a hope within me that causes me to say, well, praise the Lord. Amen. But see, if you've got that form of godliness but deny the power thereof, you don't know anything about worship. Amen. Look here. Let's read just a little further here in the book of Deuteronomy, verse number 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. It's a heart thing, folks. It's not an up here thing. It's a heart thing. We've got it lodged up here. That's the reason we're having a struggle. That's the reason we make ourselves go to church when we do go. And going to church is not all that there is about serving God. I'm aware of that. But everything, if we have to make ourselves do these things, my friend, then we're missing out on something. What is it? It's a heart thing. We're missing out on having our heart in this thing. Brother Danny said, let's sing this verse, this next verse, with a smile on our face. Amen. Why? It's a heart thing. It's a heart thing. Boy, I tell you, we ought to smile every once in a while. It won't hurt. Not much, anyways. But it sure will help. Amen. It shows what's inside of us. It shows you, well, it's what's inside that counts anyway. Well, you get to counting. You'll find out what's in here is going to show forth out in my life the way I live. Amen. That's what we was talking about a while ago. Our children say, oh, Mom and Dad love each other. Why? It's not just in their heart, but because it is a heart thing, because it is a heart thing, it shows up in our everyday life. Amen. So he says, And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them. Notice it's not just in the heart. Huh? But it comes, it proceeds from the heart. He says, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Now, what are we teaching our children? The words of the Lord. But wait, how are we teaching them? Well, we write it on. No. How do we teach them? Well, we make them memorize verses of Scripture. No. How do we teach them? With our heart. We teach them with our heart. This is yes. This is, and forget the no. You already got that down. Amen. But we teach our children with our heart. When it's in my heart and it's in her heart, my friend, listen to me, we're going to love one another the right way. And when it's in our heart, our children are going to see that. And you know what? Listen, it just looks like, Brother Randy, our daughter and her husband been married now for 14 years, I guess. And they're just as happy today as they were when they first got married. Amen. David, our oldest son, has been married a little bit less than that. But again, they're still just as much in love. Our youngest son, been married for 6 or 7 years, and he and his wife, just they're so happy with one another. Amen. What are you saying, Brother Danny? You see, we've taught our children not just by our words, but by our actions, by our heart, about how we love one another and how we love God. We've taught them something, my friend, that the world, the devil can't take away from them. Amen. Folks, I hope you're getting, it's not a brag on Danny night and brag on the Long family. It's brag on God. God told us how to do it. Amen. We've got to teach them by our heart, what's in our heart. And I'm afraid that's exactly what always comes across. It always comes across what's in our heart. That's the reason some of us tonight, our families are a total disaster zone. Because we have done a well-done job by teaching our children how, my friend, to love God and how to serve Him. You say, no, wait, you didn't mean it. Yes, I meant it just that way. And they've learned from us exactly how. And they're doing it the very way we taught them. Not loving Him much. Everything else is more important. If there's any leftover time, you give it to God. Poor old God, He'll take whatever else you got. My Bible teaches me to give Him your first fruits. Boy, we messed up on that one. We give everything we got to the world. Well, you know, Brother Danny, I got to make a living. I got to do this. I got to do that. No, we don't. God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these other things will be added unto us. You know what we've got? We've gotten wealth without God. And it is not a blessing, it is a curse. Because our families are falling apart and we can't understand why. We give them more and more and more and more and seem like they appreciate it less and less and less. Why? Because it's a heart thing. And we're not doing it from our heart. We try to buy their love. We try to buy their devotion, my friend. And none of that comes through buying. It's a heart thing. The Bible continues on and says this in verse number 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land of which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things that which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Listen to me. If it is a heart thing, you won't forget it. I'm serious. I've been saved for 47 years this past March. 47. Seem like 47 years. They have come and gone so fast. They've come and they've gone. Amen. Just that fast. 47 years. When I got saved, listen, when I trusted the Lord as my personal Savior, I invited Him into my heart. He came into my heart. And for 47 years, He's been my God. He's been the Lord of my life. He's been my King. He's been my everything. Amen. And there's not a day that goes by, I'm honest as I can be, out of 47 years, there's not one day that has went by in 47 years that I've forgotten my relationship between me and Him. I talk to folks that they can't even remember a time when they got saved. They say they're saved. I'm not asking for a date. I'm just asking for a time. Has there ever been a time when you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? If there's been a time that you've done that, my friend, you'll be able to reflect back on that time whether you know the date or not. Something that big and awesome happened in your life, that is a life-changing thing. Amen. And for that to happen and you not to know for sure when, well, yeah, no, I'm not sure. Well, I think it was. Oh, no, 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 no. You're going to have an idea about, hey, I don't remember how old I was. I remember, I've heard folks say this, I don't remember how old I was and I don't remember the date, but I remember I was at a youth camp and blood, this happened, that happened, that happened, and I trusted Jesus as my Savior. Amen. Amen. I've heard a lot of testimonies like that. But you see, the truth is, some of us sitting here tonight, I'm pretty sure it was. No, 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 no. Oh, if it's a heart thing, folks, it is so real to you, you can go back to a time and a place in your life where you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Amen. It's a heart thing. Here is God teaching the children of Israel. You got to write these things everywhere. I mean, do you understand? If they were doing what they were supposed to be doing, listen to me. They're writing it everywhere. I mean, they're talking about it when they sit down, when they rise up, they're talking about it. When they go to bed, they're talking about it. Talking about the Lord. Talking about how good He is. Telling about their experience with the Lord. I mean, how good God's been. How He delivered them out of captivity. How He brought their fathers across the Red Sea. How this and how that. How God brought water from an old dry, dusty rock. Man, what a testimony to give. Boy, I tell you, get to telling the things that God's done for you. If you and I will be honest, God's done some of those miraculous things in our lives too. Amen. And the more I get to talking about it, the more I get excited about it. Amen. And because it's a heart thing, listen, it's real. It's real. And when we tell our children that, listen to me, it is a heart thing. Because it swells up in us and then it spills over on them. And our children say, boy, our children have said this, I've watched God work in mom and dad's life. And now I want to see Him work in my life. You know why? It's coming from their heart. It's coming from their heart. And they're having a joy in their heart of serving God. You say, well, you're all wrong, Brother Danny. I've told my kids about God. I even brought them to church real faithful, without murmuring, grumbling, griping, and complaining. Without putting down the man and the people of God. You see, those things are what's in your heart that your children see also. That's the reason some of them could care less about church. Because all they've heard mom and dad tell it when they leave the church. All that's down there is a bunch of hypocrites. You know what? You're right. You're right. But we're just trying to do something about it. But those folks on the job, and those folks you run around with, are just as big a hypocrite, if not worse, because they're not even bothering to try to do anything about their situation. What is wrong with you? Huh? Why do you want to listen to an ungodly crowd when you got a godly crowd that you can draw strength from? Well, I don't agree with everything. Who said anyone else does? Amen. But you know what, Zine? Let it go. Don't grab it and bring it back. Don't you be one of them hypocrites. Don't you go away talking down about the pastor, about his wife. Now, I've got some things I'd like to say about her, but... Zing! Zing, 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 zing! Zap! Whoa! No, we may not agree with everything. You know what? Because we've all got our opinions. But opinions don't count. You say, well, my opinion's just as good. You better watch it. Your kids are learning from you. Yeah. And you might live your entire life in a situation like that. In church. Grumbling and griping about everything that goes on. Yeah. Well, can't they get that sound system working right? You know, if the pastor would take the money and do the right thing with it, we could buy us a whole new sound system. You know what? If you'd get off of some of your money, we could buy us a new sound system. Amen. You could spend your entire life in church serving God, complaining about everything that goes on. You know what your children are going to come along doing? They're not going to have a very high opinion of the church. You know why? You dirty scoundrel. You're the one that sowed the seed of discord in your own family. And now you're going to reap what you've sowed. And you can't handle it, so you're going to get mad at somebody in the church all over again and blame it on them. Amen. It's good preaching, Brother Danny. It's the truth. It is the truth. Amen. I mean, well, Brother Danny, but you know, I just don't see everything eye to eye. Where does God say we have to? Here's our problem. I'm trying to see everything the way Brother Randy sees everything, and I'm not supposed to. No, where does God tell me to do that? But He does expect me to see the things the way He sees them. Amen. He's the Lord of all. My friend, that means He's in control. Amen. He controls this man too. I'd be careful what I say about him, because you're speaking about somebody that God's in control of. Just because you don't like the way God's running things don't mean you ought to talk about His man. Won't you just get mad at God? After all, that's who it is. Won't you just go to Him and tell Him what you think? Huh? Lightning may get a little closer next time. Amen. What is wrong with us, folks? Don't we understand we're ruining a generation? If not already ruined a generation? You go out here and knock on the doors of the young people tonight. Start to talk about church. I don't want to hear about that. I have no time for that. Where did they get that from? They got it from us. They got it from our heart. We have showed them from our heart. We've showed them what we think about God's church. Amen. God help us. I'm glad it's quiet tonight. Because it's the truth. We think we can sow any kind of discord we want and it won't come back up. But the Bible says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And some of us, we can't stand what we're reaping, and we blame it on everybody else and everything else, and it's all the situations and all the circumstances, and it's all this and it's all that. Whoa! I think we need to start taking blame for it. Truth is, Danny Long hasn't loved God like he ought to. I ought to get a little more emotional. I ought to shout a little bit more. Because God loves me so much, he hollered from the cross, "It is finished." I don't believe he said, "It's finished." He said, "It is finished." Why did he say that? Because he loves me. He wanted me to know one day, down through the ages. What? I can hear him say it now again. "It is finished." Whoa! God said, "My salvation is complete in him." Whoa! Glory to God. Amen. We need to show a generation, my friend, we need to start turning this thing around and showing what is really in our heart, that we love God with all our heart. We have no other time. We have no time for hugging on the gods of this world. We don't want to give our children to the gods of this world. Listen to me, folks. Listen to me. Sports has eaten our lives up. I am not... Sports is not a sin. But we make it a sin when we teach our children it's more important for them to go to play on a team down yonder at the school or wherever. It's more important that they do that than that they go to the house of God. Well, me and the wife go to church. They're old enough now, they drive themselves to the ball games and all that. Wait! We're trying to reach them. We're pushing them out to the wolves. Amen. I want to tell you something. They can't live without sports. There are thousands of people every day that live without sports. Amen. They'll make it fine. And if they play sports and they win all the trophies and they got banners and everything else showing that they are number one, big deal. That won't last long. The trophies will be dust. The banners will be so rotted you can't read them anymore. And boy, I can just see us when we get to heaven. Walking around up there with Paul, Timothy, Peter, James, and John. The kids played sports. Back under 1997, they were number one. What about it? Your kids ever play sports? Were they ever that good? No, as a matter of fact, we didn't have time for sports when my kids were growing up. We took them to the house of God on a regular basis. We spent our time teaching them about Jesus, telling them about how great our God is and the things that he brought us through and what they could expect from God in their lifetime. Yeah? Well, then you don't have any trophies like me and the missus have got. We got trophies to show what our kids have done. Oh, we're here in heaven now. Where are your kids? Well, they're not here. They chose another route in life. But I got trophies. What have you got to show for your life? My kids are all here. My grandkids are all here. What's your name? Noah. Didn't play any sports. My boys never played. Too busy building an ark, because that's what God told us to do. We didn't have time for this other stuff. Wasn't anything wrong with it, but we just didn't have time for that. But now, listen, let me call them all around. And he calls the kids around. And they start testifying about how good God was to them in this life. And now it's obvious you can see how good he is. Now there's no more bragging about the trophies and the banners. Because we see those things were wood, hay, and stubble. And they actually got burnt up in the judgment. They were just like they were while we were here on earth. No good. Amen. But they just got to play sports. We just got to let them. We got to show them that that's more important than God. No, no, that's not what we're doing, Brother Danny. What are you doing then? Please explain it to me. Listen, you better get good at explaining it because you're going to have to explain it to God. I'm just being honest with us because I love us. And we are going to have to give an account of everything that we do. You say, well, that's your opinion. Get in your Bible. You'll find out it's not my opinion. I even disagreed with it till I realized it's the Word of God. It's true. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. When do we do that? Seek ye first. All these other things will be added unto us. Go ahead. Go ahead. We're talking about making decisions. You go ahead and do what you think you got to do. But it's going to bite you. It's going to come back on you. Listen to me. Well, how do you know, Brother Danny? I've got thousands of people I can go to today and point them out to you and show you. I got a few that I can show you the opposite. These folks have put the Lord first in their life. These folks have taught their children the ways of God. You say, yeah, go ahead and brag on. Yeah, you got a jealousy problem, don't you? Well, you're the one that's been the heathen in this thing, not me or not him. God's given you the same opportunity that He's given all of us. Well, I'm not a preacher. Hold on just a stinking minute. Maybe it's your fault that you're not a preacher. Amen. Why would God put you in that position if you're going to be the way you are? You see, the devil's always giving us something. Why don't we spit it out, puke it up, get rid of it, because that's all it is, and get down to the truth, my friend. God's given us a family to bring up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Some of us are just missing the mark because we think we're doing such a good job of loving God. I don't have to go to church all the time. Let me tell you something. No matter how much we go, we need to go more. As a matter of fact, it is a commandment in the book of Hebrews. Amen. That we go even the more as we see that day approaching. What day is that? The coming of the Lord, and He's a coming soon. You might as well try to get whatever little bit of house you got left. You better get it in order, honey, because we're fixing to check out of here and we're going to stand before God. Amen. Here, the Lord is telling them it's a heart thing. You got to do it with all your heart. Look with me in verse number 20. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt. And the Lord brought us up, brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And I like this statement, verse 23. And he brought us out from thence, that he may bring us in, to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at that day. In this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments. He said it's our righteousness if we're obedient. Are you listening? He says it's our righteousness if you're obedient. Are we being obedient? Are we disagreeing with God on everything that He says to do? Everything the preacher gets up and preaches, we say, oh, that's his opinion. When are you going to get it through your mind? It's the Word of God. When are you going to just back up and realize this is the Word of God? I must be obedient to God in order to have righteousness in my life. He says, it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as He hath commanded us. God said, thou shalt love thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. That's not my opinion. That's the Word of God. Now, I can say this. Amen. I agree with all of it. What about you tonight? It's about choices. That's what the message is about. It's about choices. The children of Israel have served the Lord. And this generation passes away, and the very next one that comes along knows not God. What happened? I believe they left their heart out. I believe they left their heart out of this thing. I cannot come up to any other conclusion, but they left their heart out of it. It was no longer a heart thing. Folks, listen to me. You'd be surprised of the remarks that I get made about the way I love the Lord and how I like to get excited about Him. Amen. Folks just don't understand. But with me, it's a heart thing. I was lost and on the road to hell. And Jesus came to where I was and saved my soul. I'm not worried about hell. I mean, not even in the least little bit, because Jesus has saved my soul. I'm not worried about tomorrow. I have no idea what tomorrow is going to bring, but I'm not worried about it. I'm not worried about the election coming up, folks. I'm just not. You say, well, you ought to be concerned. Oh, I'm concerned, but I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. Why? Because, listen to me, God's too dear to me. He's too dear to me to get my mind on these things that don't mean anything. That's going to, again, can you see us in heaven? Boy, that election was terrible, wasn't it? Are you serious? Why do we get hung up on these things? It's not going to matter in eternity. We got better things. Amen? Let's rejoice about the Lord down here, because we're going to do it throughout all eternity up there. So let's just go ahead and get involved in the worship service. Amen. Amen. I mean, don't even sit there and zing. Oh, really? Man, let the zing zing. Just get involved in serving the Lord and worshiping Him and praising Him. Boy, the Bible says, and when thy children say to thee, what means the statutes, the judgments, and all these, what does all this mean? Why, preacher, why do you go to church all the time? Why y'all have these meetings and then you go to church a whole week? Why do y'all do that? What does all this mean? Well, you know, it's a golden opportunity to do exactly what God's called us to do, to tell others why we do all these things, especially our children. We get to tell them how good God was to us when we wasn't good to Him. Amen. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Before we ever loved Him, He loved us. Glory! Amen! Amen. I get excited when I realize how much God really loves me, that He would send His Son to die on the cross of Calvary for Danny Long. Amen. Amen. Boy, what an opportunity God gives us to be an example, so that folks say, I noticed you was here this morning. Why'd you come back tonight? Wasn't that enough? Now, he gets an opportunity to say, oh, let me tell you, my Lord's so good to me, I was ready to stay this afternoon. Amen. Get to telling that. We love the Lord. Let that heart ring out. Let the heart ring out. Amen. I mean, we show them by what's in our heart. It comes forth, my friend. And so then naturally the voice is going to follow. Amen. Tonight, it's your choice. You say, Brother Danny, I've already messed up. We've lost our children. Too late. Who told you that lie? No. You read your Bible. Joshua died. That generation dies. Here comes the other generation that knew not God. And they fall by the wayside. They begin to worship other gods. And God had just decided, I'm going to let them go their way. Just let them just let them wallow in their sin. Let them, let the enemies overtake them and just watch as they destroy them. But a little later on, and not much later, I believe it's about 2 years, God's heart's broken because these are His children. So He starts sending the judges. These are men and a woman. These are those that God has sent. They're no one special, Brother Randy. They're just your, excuse me, average Joe. They're just, some of them not even average. They're no one special. They're not. You read in your Bible, they're just nobodies. And God chose them to stand between Him and His people and to deliver them. God's going to deliver them, but through them. And God chooses them. One comes along, and boy, He leads the children of Israel that are battling and losing all the battle. He leads them to war. Amen. Against the enemy. And they triumph. Why? They've not been winning the wars. Why are they winning now? Because God. See, it looked like it's too late because this generation knew not the Lord. But God showed love and compassion and mercy. Amen? What are you saying? It's not too late. You say, it is for my kids. It's not for your God. It may be for you toward your kids, but it's not too late for your God. He can still work in their lives. Listen to me. You say, Brother Danny, they're messed up out yonder in drugs and alcohol. They could care less about God. They could. You know what? We've seen a few folks saved over the years that are in that same condition right here at this church. They were messed up on drugs and alcohol and just sin. Amen. And they've come to know the Lord Jesus. Some of you are them. So you know what? There's hope for them, your children. Right? Don't give up on them. Don't keep doing what you've been doing. Hey, look, you can blame it on everybody else if you want to, but you just keep doing what you've been doing, making a mess out of things. It's just getting worse. When are you going to wake up? Come to God. Ask God to forgive you. Ask God to help you see it His way. Here's His way. He's always right. I'm always wrong. Fact. He's always right. I'm always wrong. You say, well, you don't have much pride about yourself. I got enough to know I'm always wrong and He's always right. My friend, all I can see out of that is something good happening in my life because I want to be obedient that it might become my righteousness in Him. What about you tonight? Why don't you make the right decision? Joshua did. Boy, it impacted folks. Not just him. Not just his people. Not just his family. But all the generations since Joshua and today, it's impacted our lives. A man was visiting this morning. On the way out, he said this to me. Boy, I sure enjoyed the message. You know why? And I thought, well, yeah, I guess I do. I preached it. He said, because Joshua is one of my favorite men in the Bible. Oh, Joshua has reached down in time and affected lives. Do you know the decision you make tonight will affect lives from years and years and years and years and years to come? Make the right choice. Let's all stand tonight. Everyone standing, every head bowed, every eye closed tonight. As God deals with your heart, why don't you just come? You don't have to wait on a prayer. Piano player, if she'll come, pastor's going to be up here. But you don't have to wait on any of these things. You can just come and bow in this altar tonight and pray and ask the Lord to help you. Might need to do some repenting, get things right with Him, and then ask Him to help you. Might be tonight you got a burden on your heart for somebody else. Maybe in your family, maybe not, but you just got a burden for somebody else. Won't you come tonight? If you're lost without Jesus, this is your invitation tonight to come to Him. Christian, if you're backslidden on the Lord, not living for Him like you ought to. This is your invitation. God's extending it to you. Hey, He might have said, I'm going to just let you go, let the enemy destroy you. But He's showing compassion tonight. And He said, won't you come? Won't you come? Every hour I need Thee. And oh, how true that is. Father, help us tonight. Oh Lord, work in our hearts and our lives in spite of us. Though some are here and we're rebelling against You, even in this invitation, Lord, help us to come tonight. Thank You for loving us enough that You'd give Your Son. Thank You for loving us enough, Lord, that in our backslidden condition, You still love us and show us grace and mercy. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, do that that we need, not what we want, but what we need. In this hour, in Jesus' name we pray. Let's keep our heads bowed as she continues to play. Won't you come tonight?